up, everybody? Welcome to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets, where we take our concerns and questions about Christianity and figure out how to kick them in the teeth. I'm Victor Sassano, your host. Here we go.
Well, welcome, everybody, to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets. We are here with a very special guest. His name is Alan Taylor, and he is the author of a book called I Am Not the King. And we're going to talk about his book today. Alan reached out to me because he is a listener on the podcast. He wanted to talk about his journey. I know a lot of people that listen to this podcast have experience with experiencing pain and hurt in the church, by the church. And Alan is one of those people just like me, just like a lot of us out there. But he didn't let it inhibit his relationship with God, at least not in the end. But I'll leave that for Alan to discuss in a minute. Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Hey, good to see you. Good to, I guess, hear you. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. Alan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your upbringing, your early life, and your walk with Christ, and what you're doing now?
Yeah, sure. As the book says, I grew up in a religious home. My parents were Christian. It was a holiness Pentecostal background, but there were a lot of legalistic rules to follow and things like that. And my dad was sort of a rageaholic, and so I internalized a lot of things, and then grew up, went out on my own. I went to college, joined the Army, went to college, and then went into the professional world, did some sales work for a period of time, and did some other things before I got into journalism. After that, I was activated. I was a National Guard officer, so I was activated and spent a year in Iraq. And when I came back, I started a freelance writing business, and I've been doing that ever since. That year was 2006 when I returned and started my business, and I've been writing online content for businesses, ghostwriting books, and making my living as a professional writer.
Awesome. Yeah, and anytime we have people on the show, their links, like your links, Alan, are in the show notes to your website, which will take everybody to your books and to all your different pages and stuff like that. And that way, guys, if you want to read Alan's book, you want to read more about his works or just more about him, you can go to his website, you click in the show notes, it's going to be right there. So I read the book. I read it from start to finish. I read it halfway through in one day and I couldn't put it down. And then I started it the next day and I couldn't put it down again until it was done. So it's got a lot of great information, a lot of great content that kind of draws you in and hooks you. And filled with biblical truth and awesome encounters with God, and even some stuff in there about problems in the church and problems that Christians can experience in the church, whether they're running from God or running to God. Sometimes Christians can get away and both get in the way of both of those processes. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks for that. Yeah. I've been told it's a kind of a fast read, and other people have said that, and it moves along rather quickly. And I wrote it that way. I didn't want it to be boring, but I wanted people to read it and get something out of it.
Well, talk a little bit about some of the stuff in the book that you mentioned were parts where you kind of lost faith in the church, and then at the very least with the examples that you saw portrayed in the church, especially in your own home life.
Yeah, I guess some of the issues that I've had with the church at large, the universal church, I think in general have to do with just the sinful nature of man. We're all fallen. None of us are perfect. And so, your flesh bumps up against my flesh and that causes friction, and that's what happens in churches and homes and businesses and everywhere. And we just have to work through that as a part of our condition. What we've been called to as Christians is to work through that in a peaceful manner and a way that honors God. I haven't always been successful at that. And so, I had some issues, that I had to work out internally in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit, and work those out with God. Other issues have been really kind of, and I would say this is more, lately, I've just been struggling with kind of a shallow understanding of spiritual issues. I think in the church today, we kind of play at religion and we play with God, but I get a sense that in a lot of churches, probably many, many churches, and I haven't been to them all, obviously, but many churches I've been to, there's just this, this shallow understanding of spirituality. And it's tough when you want to grow deeper, yourself, and take your spiritual walk with God deeper. It's difficult, when you can't find someone to help you do that. And, you know, when you're looking for leaders to help you do that, and you're just seeing, their shortness, I guess, falling short of God's glory and letting that be a stumbling block to you. And so I've had to deal with some of that and I'm still kind of struggling with that, to be honest with you, but that's sort of sums up my struggles with the church. Initially, when I came to God in 92, and I asked God to show me a sign, and he did, and he revealed himself to me in a very powerful way. I was really excited at that point to be a part of his church, and I went and found a church that I felt comfortable with. And I would say the first 2 or 3 years was pretty good. I was really on fire. I was studying. I was talking to people. I was developing relationships. Then somewhere along the line, I think this happens to all of us at some point. We get into either a routine or we kind of go into a sort of a spiritual funk. And some of us come out of it and some of us don't. And I've had to push through that a few times.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand what you're talking about. You know, sometimes I remember at one point I felt like there was a breakthrough that God wanted me to have, not necessarily with anything that I was doing or not doing, but there was like this part of my relationship with God that like we were going to hit the next level, you know, and there was something in the way, and I was like, I don't know what this is. And I realized like the only way to get through it was to fast. And which is not my favorite thing to do. Matter of fact, it's my before in the podcast, it's my least favorite spiritual discipline, and it probably still is. So I fasted for 5 days, and I drank juice. And I wasn't like it was a healthy fast, you know, but I had no solid food. And in the middle of that, God revealed that I had like a little bit of an identity crisis, and that I was, you know, that I was getting my value, my worth from things that weren't him. Even though those things weren't necessarily sinful, they weren't God. And so that needed to change. And he shows all these things about how much he loves me and how much he accepted me and came and died and rose again for me. And it was after that that I, like, that was when the breakthrough happened. And it was so great, you know. And so sometimes, you know, when stuff like that happens, and I talked to my parents about it, you know, and stuff, and people in my life that knew I was fasting and stuff for that purpose, you know, and I had to look to the Holy Spirit and realize what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And that was it, you know.
Yeah. Fasting is a powerful, discipline, and it really takes discipline. And you can do it for different reasons. And I've done it a few times over the years. It's been a while since I've done a good fast, but it can break oppression. If you're really struggling with something, you have a little spiritual, you know, spiritual darkness or something pushing you down. It can break it, because you're denying yourself, you know, you deny yourself for a period of time. Seek God, and it can really turn you around. So it's a good story. I'm glad you got to experience that.
Yeah, thanks. Well, all that to say, you know, with that, I really appreciate that you like kind of said, it's something that you're still working through, not something that life, you know, not something that, that you've experienced it and you're done, you know, or it's never going to happen again or whatever, because, there's a thing I've heard, like, I was a people person and then people ruined it for me, you know?
So, yeah.
You know, I was a church person and then church people ruined it for me, you know, it's something you could say, you know, but you've chosen not to say that, you've chosen to let the Holy Spirit try to work through, you know, work you through those things. And actually, one of the things I highlighted in your book that said, childhood events may influence my thoughts, but I've had to be accountable for my choices.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of people could learn from just that, you know, but even that as a whole, you know, other people throughout your whole life, you know, Christian or non-Christian, can influence your thoughts, but you're the one who's accountable. We are the ones who are accountable for our own choices.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. That just was what it reminded me of when you were talking. You were like, yeah, like kind of getting burnt out or not really, you know, hitting kind of a slump, I guess is what you would call it. But it's, you know, but it's something that I'm dealing with, you know, it's something that I'm taking responsibility for, even if it's not necessarily your fault. It's something that you've chosen to take responsibility for, and you're going to allow God to work through it. So that's really great. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
I highlighted a lot of this book. One of my favorite things was, I've learned the Christian walk is not free of challenges. Being a Christian is the hardest thing I've ever had to do, mostly because I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that I've been struggling with. Well, I know, like, it's definitely, the way that I've tried to look at it is just not only because you can't just sit there and just not do anything, you know, and be like a sloth. Like, that's not what you're saying. And that's not what Jesus is saying that, like, when you have a relationship with me, you'll do things because you want to do them, not because you feel like you have to, you know, and then operating the Spirit, you'll do those things kind of more naturally. And it still takes a little bit of practice.
Yeah.
Know, but,
yeah.
And just a little bit of intention, you know, I said before, you know, I may be a husband, you know, I'm a good husband, but I'm not going to, just because I am a husband doesn't mean I automatically know how to pick up my socks off the floor in the morning. You know, it has to take intentional, intentional, you know, picking up the socks, you know, but I do that because I want to do that because I am a husband. I am the husband.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it.
Yeah. You value your relationship with your wife. So you do things that will benefit her, you know, not because you feel a duty to, but because you love her and want what's best for her. And that's, you know, that's how our relationship with God should be. You know, are we trying to work for, you know, God's blessing, or are we trying to express our love for God by living right, by living the way He wants us to live? And that's a difficult, thing to learn how to do, because we're hardwired, you know, to perform. You know, we're hardwired that way. And we have to kind of rest, as Jesus said, rest in His peace, you know, and that takes practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. So, the other thing I wanted to really touch on was, it definitely seemed like you kind of had in your book anyway, a significant identity crisis, you know, as a son, you know, because of the way that your family affected your upbringing. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And I know the story of a lot of Christians, you know, who, you know, their mom and dad came to church, you know, and they praised God and they read the Bible and they preached or whatever. And then they came home and they smacked you across the face, you know. So unpack that a little bit for me about what that journey was like without, I mean, you can, it's obviously in the book, but like, you know, extrapolate a little bit on what that was like for allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with that in you.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, for starters, you know, growing up, but when you grow up in a dysfunctional environment, it adds a different complexity to your sinfulness, you know, because then you have, you know, none of us really have an excuse for our sin. But when you live in an environment, an abusive environment, my father wasn't physically abusive, but he was verbally abusive. And so if you're living in some kind of environment that is in some manner grotesque, that sort of gives you an excuse for your behavior, even though, or you at least you think it gives you an excuse. And so for me as a young man, having not had a real good role model, I struggled with, you know, how to be a man. And I didn't really know, what I should be doing and how I should be going about living my life. And so I just kind of winged it, you know, like a lot of people do. I just went with my feelings or my impulses. And, you know, I thought I was being mature, but I was not. I just had to kind of learn, for starters, that there is a God and that he cares about me. I had, you know, that he actually cares about me personally as an individual.
You are listening to part one of a two-part episode series, so join us in 2 weeks for the exciting conclusion.
Until then, this is Victor Sassano encouraging you to be a bolt of fresh air.